Our next guest is one of the few people who has shared a stage with David Letterman for the entire span of his 33-year-long late-night career. In 1982, Willie became one of the original members of the world's most dangerous band, the house band on NBC's Late Night with David Letterman. He then made the move with Letterman in 1993 to CBS to become part of the Late Show with David Letterman's CBS Orchestra with Paul Schaefer. He is a Grammy Award winner who has also performed with pretty much every major music act of the last four decades, as well as with three members of the Beatles. He travels around the world with his Beatles tribute band, the Fab Four, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Willie back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's good to be here, Joe. Thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you here. You know, you look at what has been accomplished here over 33 years, and it's amazing. So bring us back to how you became a part of the band for a show at that time. Well, we didn't really know what was going to happen.
I guess you could call it was kind of a friendship thing between Paul Schaefer and myself. We had done a lot of records together, had a great history of making music and getting along really well, and Paul had just produced a band that was breaking up at the time that was known as the 24th Street Band that contained band members Hiram Bullock and Steve Jordan, who he also roped in for the first batch of musicians for the Letterman show, for the original late night with David Letterman. And he came to me one day and he said, listen, I have this offer to do his talk show comedy pilot, music slash talk slash comedy. And my idea is to do instrumental James Brown, Beatles, and Motown, essentially, as the music for the show, and which had never been done before.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the Doc Severinsen band playing some jazz standards and stuff like that, but Schaefer's, you know, generation dictated to him that this was his version of what was happening at that moment. And of course, everybody has done that since Paul started that. So the day that Paul Schaefer said that to me, I said, oh, fantastic, I'd love to do it. When do we start? And he said, the show starts next week. And I said, well, man, we better go and learn some songs. What do you think? Let's go to my house tonight or something. Let's go into a rehearsal studio. So he put together, we started putting together Tears of a Clown was one of the ones, and Going to a Go-Go, probably I'll Go Crazy by James Brown, and a few things instrumentally that sounded okay mm-hmm. to do without a singer singing. The original band was intended to be a five-piece with Dave Sanborn on saxophone, as well as the rhythm section of Paul, Steve Jordan, Hiram Bullock, and myself. And the show said, no, let's make it four. You know, because at that time, obviously, this was a totally unknown entity. What was going to happen
right.
beyond 13 weeks, nobody knew. And thank the stars above that, you know, the college kids started picking up on it. It was like a cult thing in the beginning.
For you as a musician, it seems like it's nice to have a gig for 33 years where you have a steady
Let me tell you, man, when I heard about 13 paycheck. Weeks of solid work, I couldn't believe my ears.
Pretty good.
So that was 13 weeks worth, so 33 years is a whole other story. Yeah.
How much do you get to actually enjoy what is going on or to see what's happening on that stage from your perch?
Well, it's just like watching a fantastic TV show. Like you would at home, except I got to take a break to play some music in between the funny stuff that I'm watching. It's a great vantage point.
And you get to enjoy it, you get to see it, and that's what you're focused on during that time.
Yes, for the most part, unless we're talking to each other about what to play next, yeah. There's a lot of that going on.
How much of that is, of what you play, is planned? How much of it is spur of the moment? How much of it comes from Paul? How much of it comes from the band?
I have to say that Paul is so good at knowing how to read what could potentially happen, that he has us pretty well rehearsed. And the funny thing about that is that in that room known as the Ed Sullivan Theater, that's where everything takes place. There are no outside rooms for rehearsals, so everything has to happen in that room, which means we got to get in, we got to get out, so other things can take place. So we got to really focus and really get together the music for that night's show. We'll talk about play-ons, and we'll talk about other comedy incidental music. We won't talk about what we're going to play for commercial breaks. We'll decide that as the show is going along.
Let us talk about David Letterman for a moment. From your observance of this guy for 33 years, we were obviously hearing a lot today about his genius of what he's been able to do just to stay on television for over three decades. What would you add to that of what it is about this guy that resonates with people and that is ultimately so enduring?
I think that Dave hits a nerve inside of people that is so kind of rivetingly real that when you hear the phrase showbiz phony, Dave is the opposite of that, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Dave is as much himself on camera as he is off. He's not pretending, he's not doing a character, he's not being anybody other than a human being. To me, I think he's a guy whose vulnerability is really easy to read from anywhere, from where I sit, from where the viewing audience sits. And I think there's something really wonderful about that. In a way, it kind of reminds me of the Carson, the character that Carson had, the characteristic that Carson had, where whenever he was doing something that was kind of slightly inside, you always felt like you were getting nudged by him as if he was saying, you know what I mean, right?
Right.
With kind of a wink of the eye always.
David Letterman was on the Late Late Show that was being guest hosted by Regis Philbin in January. And he was on with Paul Schaefer, and they were telling stories. And Regis asked Dave if there was one thing, a moment that he really enjoyed about the show, and certainly with working with Paul, and what still makes it fun. And he mentioned a time where a group came on, young guys outside of Chicago, named the Orwells.
It was very exciting, the song. And so I went over to them at the end of the song, and I said, do that again. And the lead singer in the course of it had fallen down and either really injured himself or didn't injure himself. We don't know. And then the guitar player held up. He says, oh, I broke my string. And I thought, well, no, wait a minute. You guys are in show business? You're not in show business. And I said, Paul, do something. And Paul says, yeah, let's go. And Paul's now encouraging them to do the song again.
Yeah.
Willie, the bass player, says, you know what? We can do the damn song. So Will and the band and Paul now start doing the song exactly.
We launched into it, yeah.
As it had been.
There was only a couple of chords.
And Paul comes out and falls down on the floor just the way the lead singer.
Doing the guy's act. Yeah. Well, that's so nice of you to bring that up.
It was, you know, after all these years, something like that really tickles me.
And yeah. Off you go. That seems like a pretty good relationship that you can look and say, all right, this is what's going to make this, save this at this moment.
I'm the oldest kid of four, and I'm the hero of the family. So I'm... I'm used to walking in and saving the day. So, you know, that was nothing for me, of course.
Finally! Now we're getting somewhere. Oh, that was wonderful. Thank you very much. The Orwells. What do you say, a little more of this?
Yes,
a little more. Have you got any more in you?
One more time.
Here we go. This is the Orwells, ladies and gentlemen. Good night, everybody. Come on, do something.
One more time.
Go, 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 go.
One more time.
Come on.
One more time!
How did you find out? Is there like a group meeting, or how do you find out that he's going to retire?
Actually, the moment that it happened was a day when the band had assembled in our dressing room, as we do before shows, and Paul Shaver's assistant said, Dave wants to see you in his dressing room. And we thought, wow, we're going to get into the inner sanctum. What's going on? Is he going to give us like a giant bonus? What's going on here? Let's hurry up and get down there. We get in. And Dave made sure all the band members were in the room, and he asked somebody to close the door. And as soon as the door clicked closed, Dave said, I'm retiring. Mm. And that's how we found out. And my only reaction was, you know, man, thanks for all the laughs, you know, thank you for all this great, these great years, and congratulations for being able to arrive at that decision.
And was that the night that he told the public as well?
Yeah. The public and most of his staff, as it turns out, they didn't know. They were in the hallway crying and stuff, is from what the reports that I heard.
So when this all is over, do you say, is there a reassessment of, okay, well, this is what we'll do now, or I have to fill in that time, or this gives me the moment to do what I've always wanted to do? How do you look at it?
I'm going to start my own show.
Cool.
It's called Bass Night with Will Lee. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to...
I like it.
I don't think there's any need for me to do any more TV, so to speak. You know, people keep asking us if we're going to go over to Stephen Colbert's show when he takes over that time slot. Yeah. And I have no idea if he's even going to have a band at this point.
Right.
But for me, I'm going to be able to have quite a different schedule than I've had for all these years. I was known primarily in New York City as a studio musician at the time that the Letterman show started in 1982. And some version of that will probably creep back into my life, even though the studio scene in New York is not what it used to be back in 1982. But there's a lot of other freedoms that not having the Letterman show will afford me as far as being a freelance guy. Mm. I can kind of get back into that world a little bit more.
When you think, and in wrapping up, when you think about what you've gotten to see, what the band has accomplished, what this time has meant to you, what are those highlights? What do you think of as just like, wow, this gave me the opportunity to do this?
It gave me a great excuse to laugh while watching a great TV show. I didn't have to feel guilty about sitting back and watching a TV show, because that was my job. So there. Whenever any of us musicians that were there at the time are asked, what was the greatest highlight musically? And we always say the same thing. It was James Brown's first appearance.
Hey, hey, I feel all right. Do that. Let him. Joe Edmonton. Say, let's get the band all the round applause. Can we hear it for the band?
And that's something that, first of all, I may not have ever met a guy like James Brown had it not been for the Letterman show. So things like that are going to start popping into my memory at times when I'm least expected, I think, because right now I'm looking at it very pragmatically. You know, here's what I'm going to do with my schedule and blah, blah, blah. And chances are a month after we're done, I could just break down in tears going, oh, man, it's over.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But for now, I'm looking at the bright side, and I don't think that I'm going to have any of that sort of regret, remorse, or any of those other feelings.
Well, it's a good run, and you go out on your terms.
Yeah, I mean, how greedy can you get? 33-year steady gig. Beyond greed.
That's a nice. It's a nice thing. Will Lee has shared a stage with David Letterman for 33 years. He was part of the world's most dangerous band on NBC's Late Night with David Letterman, and in the CBS Orchestra on The Late Show with David Letterman. Will Lee, I can't thank you enough for all the great music and for sharing some great memories and stories with us this morning. Have a great last show, and thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
It's a great pleasure. Thank
my
you.
Pleasure.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Baby, baby, I get down on my knees for you.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Exciting, isn't it?